Good to see you all. You know, memory is an amazing thing. Sometimes it takes things to jog our memory. Sometimes it's a special day like this. Most of us remember. Those of us who were alive when this on September 11th, 2001, it was a you can remember what you were doing, when you heard about it, and the disbelief, the fear, the questions. And that memory, it does something in our lives even to this day, and will for the rest of our lives. Right? You know, our memory, it works. We see every once in a while on my cell phone, I get a picture that'll show up, and then a series of pictures. And this is what was happening, this many, you know, some favorite things that were going on this day a number of years ago. And it's a delight to see those things. You know, our church, like every church, goes through a life cycle. And the work of God didn't begin with us. And here's a newsflash, it's not going to end with us. And the things that we remember can become the things that we continue to invest ourselves in. Because the work of God goes on. And we as a ministry, from pastors and elders, through every person that's part of, considers this ministry to be our ministry, need to make a commitment to cooperate with the Lord to advance His work. We just finished a little mini-series on spiritual gifts. You can go back and listen to that if you missed any of those messages, because what we know and understand and practice about spiritual gifts. Dennis mentioned that essentially in what he shared with us, the work of God goes on and we have gifts and God intends to use us and He intends to use every person who's part of this ministry. And we're going into a little study in a letter from the Apostle Paul to a young man that was part of his life and ministry. Now, Paul was waiting in a jail cell. He was on, essentially, death row. He didn't know when the doors would open and they would usher him out to that place where he would be then ushered into the Lord's presence. And so he wrote a letter. It's, for us, it's four chapters in this letter. It starts out kind of formal, and he starts reminding Timothy, young Timothy, this disciple of his, about why they have this relationship. And this letter is full of challenges. But these challenges, you know, while we could sit here today and say, well, I'm not young Timothy. Why are we reading somebody else's mail? You know, I thought my mom taught me, don't read anybody else's mail. Don't let anybody read yours. But Paul intended that this letter would be taken even further than Timothy and inspired by the Holy Spirit as well. This letter is meaningful to us today, whether you're young, middle age, or old, it's for us because we're part of this whole process together. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 6 from the New International Version. Actually, it's an older version of the New International Version. So just, you can follow along in whatever version of the Bible you have as I read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, starts out with his authority because of what God has done in his life. Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan to a flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Father, as we look into this word, I pray that what we don't know, you'd help us know and understand. What we haven't experienced, I pray, Lord, that you would enliven our hearts and minds, and take us to those places where you want to use your word to impact our personal lives and the life of this church and your work here and around the world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're going to be looking at verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. And hopefully you've got your notes. The notes are available in the back. They've got some questions on the back. And basically, they just guide us through these four verses this morning. Paul prayed for the person that would be following him in ministry. He already was following him, but he prayed for this God's ongoing work in the life of this young man. And the principle behind this for all of us is we all need to pray for the next generation. We need to. How do you pray for the next generation? Well, we've got our own aches and pains, right? We pray for those. We know about the aches and pains of other people, our friends. We prayed this morning for Carrie. We wouldn't want to minimize those pains, but how do you pray? How do we pray for the people that are coming up behind us? What kind of an investment are we making in prayer? Paul says, verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, I have a clear conscience from a pure heart, as night and day. I'm sitting here in this jail waiting for the executioner. And I pray day and night, remembering you in my prayers. I mean, did he have concerns? Of course he did. Have you ever been on death row? Yeah, I don't think any of us have been, and we were spared from that. You know, somebody rescued us, came in, busted the bars down, and came in and pulled us out. No, it hasn't happened with me. But Paul is praying for Timothy. He's not with him, and he wants him to be with him. He says, I pray with thanksgiving for you. I am sitting here as a prisoner of Caesar And they're going to take off my head. And I'm praying for you. And I'm so thankful for you. And I constantly remember you day and night. Paul was thinking about as a little word that he uses in there. He says, as you know, I've been serving the Lord. And I've been, in the first statement, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did. It's like I've had this responsibility all these years now. God has blessed me. And much like it's a word that's a bridge between when I serve, it's my spiritual act of worship. It's worship. He used the same word in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. That this is our reasonable worship as I serve the Lord. Everything we do can be an act of worship, whether we're young or old or anywhere in between. Do you believe that? Everything we do, we represent Christ in the office. We represent Christ on the phone. We represent Christ when we write out a thank you note or a letter to someone. We represent Christ. And if our mind and heart is in the right place, it's like we are that one of those Old Testament priests who served in the temple. He said, all my acts of service and in my prayers, I'm a priest. And every believer today in Christ, every believer in Christ is called, in fact, a priest of God, offering spiritual acts, as Peter said, of worship. So Paul says, one of my spiritual acts of worship now is to remember you and to give thanks for you and to pray for you. What a wonderful responsibility, and what a wonderful encounter to pray for those who are coming up behind us, who are coming up and watching and given opportunities by us and coached and encouraged and prayed for. Oh, it's such a wonderful responsibility. What do you do in the middle of the night when the call of nature happens? And that can happen in a lot of different ways. It could be legs that are aching. It happens to young and old as well, depending upon what your activity has been like during the day and the way your body is just kind of processing life. What do you do? What do you do when you can't sleep? For one, you don't know was it the pizza the night before? Was it too many sweets, too much caffeine? But you find yourself awake. And our minds do amazing things. They kind of run through loops of memories, and sometimes it's fears, and sometimes it's worry. And what do you do? Well, let me suggest something. This is a suggestion that I try to practice. And it's... My father-in-law used to say, a wonderful Bible teacher used to say, well, when you can't sleep, you should pray, and the devil will make sure you fall asleep. Well, that's not why we pray. No, that's not why we pray. But it's, hey, maybe this is an opportunity. Maybe the Lord woke me up far beyond the call of nature. He woke me up so that I would pray. And I need to pray for my younger family members. I need to pray for my friends. I need to just wonder, Lord, why I'm awake. Pray. Just pray. And pray for those young lives in our midst who are coming up behind us. And really pray for them. Pray that they will grow in a knowledge of God's will so that they'll walk worthy of the Lord, Like Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and following, pray that they will bear fruit in their lives that turns people to Christ, turns their own heart to the Lord, but pray for them. I don't know why I'm awake, Lord, right now, but I want to remember. Help me remember. A face comes to mind. For all of us, remember and pray. Do you, maybe it's just good to always have somewhat near you a 3x5 card, and you're writing down, on that, you write down prayer concerns that you have. Include on those that prayer list, prayer for the people in our balcony, those young lives, that they're part of our ministry, and they are they're precious to God and precious to us. Not just so that our church goes on, but so that they enjoy growing in an understanding of God's will. Surrendering to the Lord and taking action to make him known. I was thinking about, I was writing in my prayer journal. I picked it up. I bring it up to church on Saturdays for our men's, not men's, it's a prayer time on Saturday mornings. And I bring my prayer journal with me, and I write down prayer requests and follow those prayer requests over a period of time. Not too long ago, I left it at home and decided to start journaling, and took my pen out, and my wife said, "It's nice to see you journaling." Thanks for the glad, yeah, that was nice. But it's really, however young or old you are, we forget, don't we? Why didn't you? We tell people, I'll pray for you. When was the last time you told somebody, I'll pray for you? And then you thought, they said later, thanks for praying for me. I went, oh yeah, oh, that's right, I did. So now I just turn it into a prayer just as I'm walking away from them, right? It's okay to have your memory jogged. I had a friend that was a pilot, and everything was proper and in order in his life. And much like any good pilot would do, as we'd get in his plane, and before we took off, he'd pull out a checklist, and he's reading through every one of those items. Now, he was an experienced pilot, but before we move forward, he's checking things off. When we pray, it's okay to take it seriously and have something written down, even if it's just a name. Name of a family member, a name of somebody from our ministry. And maybe just one thing that will jog your memory as to how we should pray. How do you think God looks at our lives as to how he looks at us when we're awake in the night, when we're troubled during the day? As to what do we do about it? Do we take it to him? Do we take it to the Lord in prayer? Pray deeply for the next generation. We all need to do that. For family, friends, and for our ministry. The second thing we want to pay attention to is this, is to show for this next generation, show deep affection for them. Deep affection. Paul writes, recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. That's kind of an interesting, even the way it's broken up in terms of the punctuation in my Bible. Recalling your tears, I'm full of joy. Well, I think so. I think that, you know what he was recalling? He was recalling the time that he left Timothy and as he was leaving him. And they were all weeping. You know, this same sort of thing happened with Paul in Ephesus. And the last time he was there in Ephesus, he had the elders come out to him. And he said, this is it. I'm going to Jerusalem, and I don't think things are going to go well there. I'm told that it's not going to go well. And so there was weeping that we'll never see each other again. And Paul said, when I left you, there was weeping, but it was such a precious moment. And because of that, it was really, I'm just full of joy. That's why I'm remembering you. That's why I'm remembering you. You know, it's really important that we remember and show love and affection for this generation that's coming up behind us. Paul was, even though he's writing this letter, and he's under the threat of execution and doesn't know if he'll make it, he writes to Timothy, and he says, I'm really looking forward to seeing you. Timothy, come quickly. He says this at the end. We'll talk about that as we go on with this letter. But he says, and bring my cloak, will you? It's the winter's coming on. I don't want, please. You know, bring my cloak and bring my books. You know, just to bring the scrolls. I need that. It's like to think that things are going on. But I have deep affection for you. You know, we've got a lot of young lives that come up and have over the years, over the decades, come through our ministry. And they're here today too. You don't see them all the time. You don't see them necessarily down front, but they're here. They show up on Wednesday nights. They're involved in activities. We want you to know about the bowling. Dennis kind of made sure that you understood that you were not being invited to the bowling. You, those of you who are not one of the young people, that's fine. We're not asking you for support for that either. But just understand that we've got a bunch of young people here, and we want you to know what's going on. And let that be a reminder to you to what? Pray for them. Pray for them. The next section is the next point in the message is we need to express deep affirmation of God's sovereign grace. In the lives of this generation coming up behind us, what do we mean by that? We need to express deep affirmation of God's sovereign grace. Verse 5 says, I've been reminded. There's all these words that have to do with memory. Every one of these four verses is talking about memory. So I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. When Paul ministered to the people in Lystra, which is the place where Timothy grew up, in essentially Turkey, our Turkey today. When he ministered there, he got the chance to meet the people there, and among those people were Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and his mother Eunice. And when he went there, they weren't believers. Likely. They were, though, believers in Yahweh, in the sovereign God. And they raised their son, Timothy, to know the God's scriptures. God's serious, and he speaks to us through his word. His word is full of promises. His word is full of the love of God and the grace of God and the kindness of God. The goodness of God. And so this young man was raised in this home where whether he had, any of them had sealed the deal with regard to Jesus before Paul got there, when Paul came, they came to Christ. And so he was raised in this home, and the germination of his faith grew among those people who were believers in Yahweh, the Almighty God. And then there was this transformation of their souls. So Paul, when he says, I'm very mindful of the fact that your faith is for real and it has deep roots. So we have a ministry right here, and every single person in this ministry, from every person in the Spanish-speaking congregation, El Calvario, and the English-speaking congregation, we have certain spiritual roots. And some of them are deep, and some of them are very, very, have been very, very effective and transformational. But in every respect, they may have been, those relationships kind of move us down the road. So Paul is showing great respect and wants Timothy to understand, I want to affirm your faith, that your faith is deeply rooted. And it was there, and it was for real. It was a sincere faith. The word sincere, it means to be without hypocrisy. Your faith is not like, well, it's just for the moment. We were just singing all those songs, and it was a happy moment, and our minds might have been way far, far away. But Paul's saying, I know that your faith is really sincere in God's word. And I've been reminded of that. It's a homegrown faith. In our ministry here, it's not just, this homegrown faith is not just something that we got from our parents. It's a faith that comes from the people in our ministry. Do we understand how profound this is? This faith? You know, when we dedicate our children, we dedicate our children to the Lord. We do this right here. We don't baptize children. We dedicate them. And when we do, we've had a practice, and it's been a while since we've done this. It's been five, 6 years since we did this last. But we had parents and their children come up here, and we prayed and dedicated them to the Lord. And one of the things we've practiced over the years is to have the entire congregation stand, and we've had a little words of dedication that the congregation then reads. It makes a promise to a family. And we promise that we'll stand by your children. And our lives will be without hypocrisy. Our lives will be there to encourage their faith. And to give them an opportunity to follow the Lord. And an opportunity to serve the Lord. To see it in us. And to be given opportunities in their own lives. A few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Luke Rudzent preached. He's one of our interns. And Luke is, how old are you, Luke? 22. I thought you were 23. You're still a kid. 22. Well, Luke's mom was reminding me after he preached that Sunday that, you know, it's been the church that's had this impact on him. She said, I remember the day when we dedicated our sons to the Lord. And that was a strength. That was a strength. And the church has been faithful. And there was even a little bit of time in there when mom and dad thought, well, you know, maybe the youth group isn't necessarily doing what we hoped it would do or whatever. Maybe when they were younger, maybe we should go to another church. And they tried a few different churches. But this is really cool. I remember when they came back, and it wasn't long that they were gone. When they came back, they told me the boys were the ones that said, can we go back to our church? That's you. That's us. See, reason why, you know, what's behind this? It's not just Paul preaching for his disciple, or writing to his disciple and praying for his disciple. And it's us praying and following up the prayers with opportunity. Opportunity to do what, even in terms of serving, by being a youth intern here and by preaching God's word. Paul said, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, your faith that is without hypocrisy. And it came from your family, your grandmother and mother, and we can expand that to their surrogates, surrogate parents and grandparents. That's us, right? Amen. And lastly, we need to go deeper. Verse 6, go deeper. Take it further than this now. For this reason, I remind you, I'm giving you this reminder now, Timothy, reminding you to fan to a flame, the NIV says, to fan to a flame the gift of God that is, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. It's kind of fun to build a fire, isn't it? And an intentional fire that you're going to warm your hands, and it's got kindling, and it's so you whatever you use just underneath the kindling, it's this is really a fun deal, especially if you're on a camping trip and you got to cook something, and so you want to be warm. It's always fun to stand around that, but when you light that match and you get down low and you. Yeah, it's when you do that, you fan it to a flame, and it starts to just come up a little bit, and it's just kind of there's a warm feeling even before you feel the heat, right? It's just like, hey, it worked. That's pretty cool. The power I have. But Paul says to Timothy, now I'm reminding you, and I'll remind you again and again, to fan to a flame that gift that was in you. We were talking about spiritual gifts. We all need to fan to a flame the spiritual gifts that we have, and that's why Paul's saying that to Timothy. How do we fan to a flame those gifts? Well, we do it with prayer. We do it with fresh surrender. We do it with action. Well, I've got a gift. What's yours? We were talking about the spiritual gifts. Are you fanning to a flame the spiritual gift that God has given you? I mean, really, seriously, are you fanning it to a flame? In other words, do you, every time you come to church, we asked a couple weeks ago this question, what did you bring to church today? And people, what did I bring? Are we going to pass the offering plate? Well, no, that's a box in the back. How am I going to, sorry, that's where my gift goes back there. No, the gift that the Holy Spirit has given you, beyond dollars, way beyond dollars, the gift of your time and your talents, as well as sometimes way beyond the obligatory 10%, way beyond that. Did you bring your gift of hospitality or encouragement or helps to church on Sunday? Because there were people here that needed you. And we all needed to take it seriously. Did I pray before I came to church that I'd be sensitive to the people needs around me? Well, I'm eager to tell my story. I'm eager to talk about my journey. I'm eager to talk about my hurt, or my disappointment, or my loss. Don't ask me how I'm doing, because I'm really eager to tell you. Hey, did you come to church eager to use your gift to touch somebody else? So if you're a believer in Jesus today, if you came in as a believer and you had this spiritual gift that God gave you, Are you fanning it to a flame, using it in the life of the people around you? Well, Paul just says, Timothy, listen, I'm going to get shorter in just a few days. Who knows how long it's going to be? And I'm not going to be here. Now, you need to fan to a flame. Every single one of you need to fan to a flame the gift God has given you. Bring your gift to church. Bring your gift to the patio. Bring your gift to a restaurant after church. Bring your gift to your use of your cell phone. Bring your gift to your time of prayer that kind of springs from the conversation you had with one of your friends here at church. And so you know you're just eager to pray and stand by and support people who need you. And God fully intends to use your gift in his life or her life. Keep dedicating your life. Keep surrendering your life. Fan it to a flame. Keep bringing your strength and your resources. Day by day, engage with people because your gift is for them. Fan it to a flame, Timothy. Fan it to a flame. I've been talking about our need from beginning to end here. Our need to invest in the lives of the people coming up behind us, right? We need to once again dedicate ourselves and dedicate these young lives. And I'd like all of you young lives in the balcony, if you're under 30 years old, come on down here. Please come right down front. No exception. Come on down. Just stand here. We're not going to stick a microphone in your face. You just come on down, okay? And you all can pack up just right now, but we're gonna stand around these young lives, and we're gonna pray for them. I'm gonna lead us in prayer, but I want you to all of them to come on down here. These are kids that show up time to time, and at various stages of growth, God is working. Unquestionably, God is working. So come on, right down front here. And now that they're here, once they come, I want all of us to come and surround them. Come on, nobody gets a pass. This is a very charismatic moment, but it's a serious moment. Serious moment. Okay. We're going to really press the charisma, okay? I want you to actually get a little closer, okay? We're way beyond COVID, okay? Well, not. Put your hands out, okay? And put your hands on these young lives, and okay? Or just stretch your hand out if you're back too far, okay? Just stretch your hand out. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just remind us deeply. This is not just a symbolic thing. It's a real thing. As we stretch our hands out, this is to remember to pray. Now, in this moment, and we are praying, Lord, that you would use all the events of their lives to prepare them day by day to know you, to know your will and your ways, and to serve you, love you, and serve you with all their heart, soul, and strength. We don't know the details of any of our lives, our journey that lies ahead. But Lord, we pray that they will be faithful to you. And I pray, Lord, that we would be faithful for as long as you give us to be an example to them, to be an encouragement to them, to support them and give them opportunity to know you and serve you. Lord, they're yours, and they're part of our life and the ministry of this place. We thank you for their families that somehow or other have them here, and for that faith in all of its different germination stages that it resides. It's their faith is for real, and it's growing. And we pray that it would grow deeper and deeper still. We pray, Father, for the disappointments or the fears, the disruptions, the great joy in their lives. I pray that they would see the link between you and these things that are going on. And I pray that they would turn to you. Keep turning to you for help and understanding. I pray, Lord, that they would take every opportunity to know you and make you known among themselves, among each other, and out there in the world to which you take them. I pray, Father, that many of them would accept the opportunities even to lead as coming from you. And when they take responsibility, I pray they would turn to you and ask for your loving hand of guidance. Lord, we do this right now. I'm praying this, and my brothers and sisters in Christ are joining me in this prayer, saying amen. And so we gladly thank you and pray and dedicate ourselves as we dedicate them to you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Thank you.